Hi there. My name is Winfrey, and we are doing the, I call it the Winfrey conference line, but it's really not my line. I call it that because some of you have probably heard me or read my book, and so you might cause more of you to tune in and pay attention. But this is a, you who are on PBS who are tuned in are actually listening to a conference call that we've been doing for over a year now over the telephone. And on this conference call, we've had people checking in, connecting with what identifies themselves to be interdimensional energies that are paying attention to us. And, of course, you can only prove that by your own experience. So if you're listening tonight, you may notice certain shifts in your space, in your energy, in your consciousness during the next hour. And so pay attention to that in addition to whatever words I happen to be saying. And I heard someone else come on. Would you like to say your name and your city, please?
Francis from California.
Hi, Francis.
Robert
in Cleveland Heights. Hi, Robert.
Thank you.
And my name is Winfrey. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, this is Dee from Brevard, North Carolina.
Dee from North Carolina.
Yes.
Hi, Dee. Is this your first time on the line?
No, Wynn. I've been on before.
Okay. And was anyone else coming in? There we go. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Samuel from Phoenix, Arizona.
Say your name again.
Samuel from Phoenix, Arizona.
Samuel. Hi, Samuel.
Hey.
Samuel is connected with Diane and Wesley?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So, on the Monday night call, we're on the line live on BBS Radio, so we have listeners that are tuning in that don't know what we do. So, it's a little bit different format. I kind of do the same intro in a different way on every Monday. And for those of you that have paid attention to me, or those of you that haven't, I am the principal author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And that book introduces what identifies itself as a group soul, one of the major group oversouls for our planet. And this oversoul goes by the name of Ra, and they are made up and composed, at least is the way they describe it, of individual entities and souls that have graduated from this realm, that went through a series of physical embodiments and now exist as pure energy in a higher dimension. And they say they're composed of billions of individual entities, not just from this planet, from planets all through the universe, and that it was this oversoul that was speaking through Edgar Cayce, and then as of right now is speaking through David Wilcock, and they are available to help us through what they call a dimensional shift, or the end of a cycle. And
dimensional shift?
A dimensional shift, yeah. My name is Wynn. There's a couple people on there. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Laura Lojudice, Cottonwood, Arizona.
In Cottonwood, Arizona. All right.
Yeah.
I know. Is this your first time on the line tonight?
Yes, sir.
Tell me your first name again.
Laura, L-A-U-R-A.
L-A-U-R-A.
Yeah.
You know, we have another person that checks in quite often from Cottonwood.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think she's on tonight, but
Roseanne?
It is Roseanne, yes.
I'm at her house now.
Oh, well, that explains it. Okay, good. Well, nice to have you. Anyone else on like to say their name and their city?
Yes.
They have Mike Stain.
Wait a second. Let's see. We're getting too many people at once. How about on the East Coast? Any males on the East Coast?
I'm here on a vacation, but I'm from the East Coast.
That's Laura, right?
Yeah.
Laura, listen. Right now, we're letting some of the other people identify themselves. We'll get back to you later, but thank you.
Okay. We'll get back to us later.
Where are you from on the East Coast, Laura?
Manhattan.
Manhattan, okay. We were just there.
And Philadelphia, okay. Pennsylvania.
And I was born in Philadelphia. But
where were you born, Philly?
Laura, I'm not going to answer that question now. I'll talk to you later about it, because I want to conduct the call, okay? But thank you for being here. And
okay, sweetheart.
Okay, who else is on the line?
We have two from the West Coast. Is it 37525?
Hang up on him, Roseanne.
No,
who from the West Coast?
We have Alisa and Dorian.
Hello there, and thank you for being here tonight.
Hello.
What city are you in?
37525 pounds. I'm in Avila Beach.
Avila Beach?
And I'm in Santa Barbara.
In Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
You guys didn't see me when I gave a talk in Santa Barbara,
yes,
did you?
Yes, we did. We were there. Do you remember us?
Well, honestly, no.
Okay, we remember
I probably
you.
Would remember you if I saw you in person, but I can't remember so many people's names, but I'm so honored that you're here, and I was just... We're also tonight, we're on BBS Radio. So we're being broadcast from the internet. So I'm going to mute everybody. Anybody else want to say hello before I mute you? Roseanne and Cottonwood, okay.
And
Jeff. Did I hear Jeff
Mike,
in there?
Mike from Albany.
Mike from Albany, New York.
Yeah, but I'm in Cottonwood, though, right now.
Are you at Roseanne's house also?
I am.
All right, good. Okay, well, nice to have you.
Thank you.
Hey, Wynn, this is Debbie in L.A. I don't quite get how to get your voice to come through on the computer. I'm at this BBS radio, but what are you...
Debbie, we'll talk about it later. It's on bbsradio.com, and then look up for the Winfrey conference line somewhere on there. But let me go on with our conference. And as I was saying, I was writing this book, which introduces this group Oversoul, which says that they are like a helper for us, that they interact with us, that they can connect with us energetically. And while I was in the process of writing the book, 2 years into it, I suddenly had a experience where a personal relationship started to spontaneously channel, and the voice that came through identified themselves as the Council of Elohim, which, when I looked that up on the internet, it said the creator God of this universe, the God of the Old Testament, and I wasn't sure that was true or not. I'm just talking to a voice, but during the period of the initial contact, they answered a lot of questions very wisely, and then they... predicted a newspaper headline, and then I asked for some help with my sister, who had a serious life-threatening problem, and she had a miracle. And so I'm not going to tell the whole story. Go look up the website and read the story. But I've had two personal relationships have this voice speak to me that said they're the Elohim, and basically they answered questions, and the questions they answered very much were correlative with the information coming through the Ra group soul, which was in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and that they were presenting a scenario that there's something happening in our solar system that has never happened before in the recorded history of mankind. but we are at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and the Earth is rising in its vibration, and that this is the period that all the major religions, spiritual traditions, or not all, but most, have predicted. And it has to do with the Mayan calendar ending of 2012. It has to do with Jesus' prophecies of ascension. It has to do with the Indian-Hindu thing of Kali Yuga, that we are in that right now, and that they're explaining how that works. And, of course, I studied this for quite some time, and I studied some of the religious teachings, and I looked at the wisdom that was coming through. I looked at the ability of these group souls to understand the human condition, and I said to myself, I think that this may be right, and I felt the need to share it, so that's why I'm doing this conference call. And so when I started doing the conference calls, keep in mind I'm having conversations with them, and they're answering questions. I asked them if they would be on the line and if they would work with the people on the line, and they said they would. So during the course of the line, aside from what I am saying, you may notice some energy shifts in your space. You may notice some energy shifts inside yourself. And you may consider the fact that they are on the line paying attention to you, if that doesn't scare you. They actually are only here to help us, but it's one of the things that you have to come to your own conclusion about. So this evening, I'm going to read a portion of a book called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which is one of my conversations with this group that has identified itself as the Elohim. And the person that channeled this is actually on the line right now. Her name is Terry. And we all have a great gratitude for her ability to be able to tap into this. And this is a session that was just question and answer sessions where I ask questions and they answer the questions through Terry. So if you go on the website, higher-vision.org, you'll see a section where it says free downloads, and you can download this this little, it's actually 8 chapters of what will be sooner or later a book. So the one I'm going to share with you this evening is connecting with the Elohim and extricating oneself from the dark side. Question. How can an individual have some personal experience they are really having a connection with an interdimensional source such as the Elohim? What are the physical signals and evidence that would confirm that they're having a connection? Elohim. There can be light appearing to the individual, surrounding and providing a loving space around the individual. It's a love light surrounding the individual, which the individual can sense. That is one of the first signs of connection. Secondly, if a person is directed to the light, an answer may form as if a thought in the seeker or the asker. One must use discernment in accepting an answer. If an answer does not fit your question or fit your recognition of what is right, you may have been contacted by a negative source, which has intercepted the connection line. Do not ever pursue this, but reset and connect to the Elohim source or the Ra source. The thought will have a resonance within you of correctness. Do not accept an answer unless it resonates as a correct and informative answer.
And this is when I'm just going to make a comment there. And that is, what something is channeled does not mean it's positive. On what we call the other side or in other dimensions is a vast array of intelligences and beings. And when one, channeling is not something that I would recommend that someone reach to try to have happen unless they've gone through a lot of study of how it works. Perhaps that Carlo Ruckert's book, The Channeling Handbook, because once you open yourself up, you open yourself up to both positive and negative. And I tell people, even when you listen to my things I'm sharing with you, to draw your own conclusions about it, because it's not up to me to tell you. It's either inherent in the information and the resonance, or it's not. Next question. What does a negative source have to gain in answering a question? What is their agenda? Elohim. There are as many agendas as there are negative sources. A negative agenda will fit the purposes of the negative source, and the agenda is personalized according to the source. The difference between a negative source and the Elohim is that the Elohim wishes to be co-creators, and the negative source wishes to imbue the subject with its purposes and agendas. It wishes for the recipient to become a subject of his particular web of effects and consequences. The Elohim is a loving connection and is open to a two-way street of communication. The Elohim wishes to serve, wishes to have a companion with the purposes of both the Elohim and the recipient fulfilled. The Elohim considers the desires and wishes of the recipient, provided they are not self-serving. The negative source wishes to imbue the subject to their will. And this is why I'm just saying in my own words here, that the higher sources do not take away your power or your ability to make decisions. Lower sources do. They tell you what to do, how to do it, and it's not co-creative. You feel like you're a slave to a source that is greater than you and knows more than you and is going to take your power and tell you what to do. The higher sources do not do that. When? Is there a correspondence to what Jesus referred to as the devil or Satan and the negative sources you are referring to, which could potentially answer a question which was given and directed towards the Elohim? The Elohim. The devil has many avenues of travel. The devil is caretaker of the souls that have gone over a line of well-being and have become distraught and angry and destructive. And they may express their destructiveness in many ways with cunning. The devil arena is a dark one. There are keepers of the devil realm who look for opportunities to connect with lost, distraught, and destructive souls, where being destructive becomes an expression of lost causes, rages, or injustices that have taken possession of their way of travel. So it's not just one evil devil. The devil may fan the flames of injustice and rage. The seeds of injustice already planted in an individual who has experienced some form of victimization can be an opening to the influence of this negative realm. And eventually, these individuals will have forgotten the detail and just be lost in their rage, reaching desperately out for any kind of support. Those in the devil realm reach back and corral and work with those lost souls. It's all part of a puzzle, and for someone caught in this kind of web, they would need to review the details of their victimization, proceeding backwards in time to the beginning So the problem could unwind, and the being could awaken from his trauma and again be a sunny, loving soul. When? Question. How did this negative realm, which we're referring to, which you've referred to as the devil, or perhaps that's just the religious word used to describe it, and maybe for some people the word devil may create a negative thought in terms of how to relate to this particular energy. Maybe there's a way to describe it in a way that it began, where it came from, and understanding it, for example, just as we can think of the Elohim as God, not as gods to worship, but as co-creative partners from higher dimensions, which takes it out of the religious context. Is there a way to look at the idea of the devil and take it out of the religious context and understand it from its origin of creation? Elohim. It originally arose through frustration. In the onset of original creation, entities were able to make up scenes projected from their intention, as if one was a painter and drawing beautiful pictures. They could make up holograms of beauty, and then they would become attached to their holograms as if a possession. Then another entity would, in play, destroy their hologram. This created feelings of indignance and injustice in the one who created such a beautiful hologram, so we had the first beginning of the feeling of loss. With pride of ownership came sorrow at loss, and the idea of winners and losers. As these tendencies grew and prevailed, some souls became prideful and thought they could increase their self-worth by decreasing another's worth, and self-value became identified with possession. Games of vanishing others' holograms became the norm in the lower realms of creation. As one feels the necessity of ownership, they then lose the ability to create and destroy at will, and their creations now need to persist. They lose their ability as a sub-god to create more, and they become subject to the creation instead of being the creator of the creation. As the creator of the creation, they can create more whenever they wish. But when they become the subject of their creation, they lose their ability to create at will. The idea of possession was the foundation for the growth of the negative realm. There are many factors and complications that became involved that led to the third dimensional reality which humans experience today. A human can reclaim his innate divine powers of creation by stepping out of all these possessions and ownerships and returning once again into the realm of creation and love. They don't have to relinquish their possessions, just their attachment to them. We are there to help those who call on us. Do you have more questions? Wim, I understand that the pride of ownership created the loss of spiritual cosmic awareness, because now one's awareness was focused on what they owned and possessed, and that attachment would limit a human's higher power of creation. Does this negative force, which we refer to as the devil, have ownership of anything? Are they an energy being, or do they exist in a physicality of some sort? Are they attempting to own the energy of other beings? Elohim. They are attempting to own the energy of beings. the devil may come to beings who are distraught, because that energy is coincident with their energy. He is willing to take individuals with him who are wishing to know more of the devil realm. He is the champion of dissatisfaction and disharmony, and can take power over individuals experiencing these feelings. If an individual will bring their negative emotions into the open and process them, they can release themselves from the influence of the negative realm. When? Does this devil have physicality in a physical location, or is it just an energy form? Elohim. There is no particular locality for the devil. He appears where he's summoned, or where he senses the energy connection. He exists as a champion of hopeless and lost causes, which are important to individuals who have become so distraught that they only know how to bring about destruction to others in a frustrated effort to exist with some sort of dignity and sense of justice, although to another, they would appear to be totally unjust and self-serving. Although the devil does not have a physical locality, he may choose at times to hang around an area in an energy body where a disaster has taken place in the past, and for a period will use that as his home. The changes in the etheric energy at that location will attract him to inhabit that area. There is far more than one entity in the devil realm, and any number of individuals who are would-be devil wannabes. They have become so grief-stricken, angry, and resentful that they feel they are past all hope of redemption. Their response to the devil's advances and their hopeless quest for equanimity as a last-chance effort in their struggle to exist. The keepers of the realm of lost souls actually feel they are filling a need in providing a realm for lost souls to work through their angers. When? So in a sense, one could lose their soul, at least for a period of time, to what we call the devil in the manner in which conventional religion describes? Elohim, we could say that the devil would appear to become the champion of the individual's long-lost cause. Were he not at the effect of some lost cause, then he could be his own master and creator again. If one feels he is a victim, then he is giving up his power to some other source who feels is victimizing him. He feels is victimizing him. Once he takes his power back, he will not be interested in the negative realm. When? Is the energy of the devil prevalent throughout the universe, or is it connected specifically with planet Earth? Elohim, it is an energy thing. It is not isolated to Earth. When, if someone is going to reach for a connection with Elohim or Ra, are they going to have to pass through this realm of where this negative energy exists? Is it a necessity of initiation of sorts to get through it, to get to the higher realms? Or can that be bypassed? Elohim. Like energy brings in like energy. And you do not have to pass through unlike energy to get there. When? So in focusing on how to connect with the higher realms, what are some of the things that a person can do to make that connection? Elohim. One can meditate. And in meditation, one can identify energies that are not his own, and then just himself, concentrated on the asking, say the word Elohim. Say the word Ra. Asking for those energies, or reading chapter 17 of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and the energy of Ra will come in, or read the channelings of the Elohim and watch for us to come in. Or else our energies are around the person and sense the light and love energy. And on this energy, one can ask a question and listen for an answer, again keeping in mind things that he has identified that are not him and not the Elohim. If one is more comfortable calling on God, Jesus, or whoever may have been their inspiration, that will work also. The higher realms respond to a person's intention, not the name they call. Once one senses the love light energy, they are connected. It is like recognizing a friend, and one can sense when the energy changes. And if it becomes other than love light energy, then not to pursue that direction, as other entities of lower agenda might be interrupting. Discernment is needed to recognize the love light energy and evaluate the information put on the connection light. Do you have more questions? When? In the course of one's daily activities, are there techniques that a person can use as they go to work, as they spend time with their family, to feel the connection with the higher dimension while they're doing their ordinary function? Elohim, we are there for the asking. You but have to ask, and we will be there. We feel your need and can surround and support you at times during the day when our support is needed to help carry you successfully through a daily task. When? Now, the Elohim is a group soul that at one time had bodies and now is pure energy. How does the group operate and function with regards to someone who requests help? Is the whole group present, or is there an assigning of individual parts of the group to work with a person? How does that work administratively from your side? Elohim. In the third density, one tends to think in terms of one thing at a time, literally. But on the other side, many things can be done at once. It is not time dependent. We can be many places. We are guided by energies. We know when one is ready to receive us. We are able to multitask on some assignments, depending upon the need of an area, by assigning a section of our group into that area. When? Do you report to a group that's higher than yourself in terms of delegation, of functioning, or oneness? Elohim, we report to the Council of Twelve. We receive guidance from the Council of Twelve. When? Is the Council of Twelve a higher density than you, or do they administrate this realm actually lower in density? Elohim, they administrate more than one realm. They administrate their own realm of the Elohim, and different levels within the Elohim, and different jobs the Elohim provide. The repairing of life models would be one example. Healing in response to repair is another section. The Council of Twelve does not directly administrate Earth. They are a group of 12 highly evolved individual souls who administrate the Council of Elohim, who then, due to their functions, connect directly with Earth and other realms. When? Is the Council of Twelve overseeing this communication that we are having at this moment? Elohim, we do coordinate through the Council of Twelve and receive advice and counsel from them. When? We're speaking to the Elohim right now. Are we speaking to an individual soul who represents the entire group, or do we have a portion of the group present with us? Elohim, a portion of the group is present. Yesterday, you had one individual come in at one point, the passionate individual who was also a member of the Council of Twelve. When? How many souls in the Elohim are actually paying attention to us right now as we do this communication? Elohim, 1,200. When? 1,200, and there's a total of 5 million? Elohim, that's about right. When? Many people have shadows or traumas from the past in the ways they have bound themselves to this level. How can a person unravel their past traumas so they can be more open to the realities of higher dimensions and keep out of the negative realm? Elohim, they can do so by observing themselves. They can assume that they are perfect, though it does not seem to fit them that they are perfect. They are fighting their limitations. They are fighting their thoughts that don't seem logical or right to them. Where an unwanted thought occurs, they fight it or push it down, or they try to get it out of their space rather than to just observe and process it from a place of neutrality. Many times, that unwanted thought is picked up from outside the being, from the location where the person is, from an outside source. People could be telepathic to the thoughts of those in their environment. Sometimes the unwanted thought is generated from an attachment the individual is carrying. Sometimes the unwanted thought comes from some situation or trauma that happened in the past. The only way this can be sorted out is through keen observation and not judging. Spend some time each day just observing, even at work. Say, there's that thought. What are the situations surrounding that thought? Don't judge, just observe. Don't act it out, just observe. That's one of your biggest tools for learning and processing the parameters of your situation. Ask for guidance concerning it. Ask for our guidance. Ask for the guidance of the Christ consciousness. You will receive if you ask. Question. Does the Elohim really like the position of being worshipped? It is irksome to be worshipped because worship creates a division. I'm better. You're the one who's not as good. It creates a falsehood, a fallacy, and it creates a break in the communication between the two. There's a father and a son, and neither is better than the other. One is wiser, one knows more. Worship tends to deaden the brain and to place one at a disadvantage. It tends to close down the channel of communication and say, you tell me everything. You tell me what to do. I will follow you. I will do what you say. This is not the kind of connection we are looking for. We are looking for the type of connection where there is mutual respect and equality. Okay, that's the end of today's reading. Now, Mondays, this is Wynn speaking, not reading now. Mondays are kind of like my job to pick. We've had a lot of different things happen on Monday. Sometimes we've had a live channeling. Sometimes we've had actually played a tape of a channeling. And sometimes I read a channeling. But no matter what we do, there's this experience that there's an energy present with us on the line. And in the question to the Elohim and Ra, they both said they're paying attention. For those of you who are on the line, or who are listening on BBS, who do feel and energy in your space now, you may be experiencing the presence of these good souls. And this is something that is available to you 24/7, and I hope that we can set a reference point so your people on this planet can make that connection. One of the things we do, and one of the things that they have said they work with us on, is we do something called calling in of the light. Now, what we're doing is we're doing something that's actually already happening and just formalizing it in the words. And that is, those of us on the line, and I say on the line, we're on the phone line, a group that's been coming back and been fairly regular for some time, have learned to be very sensitive to these energies, and that we actually create a group energy amongst us all. And those of you listening on BBS can perhaps participate in that group energy. Now, this is not something that you can decide to do with your mind, but you can be open to it. You can be open to sharing a consciousness that we all share together. It's kind of an interesting thing because everyone knows what group energies are. When you go to a movie, there's a group energy. When you go to a rock a concert, a music concert, there's a group energy. But this is a little bit unusual because we're doing it where we don't see each other. But we know there's people there, and there is an energy present, but we can't see each other. So we'd like to just vision and imagine that it's happening. Imagine that we're all connected right at this moment through what we could call the ethers or the vibrational field, the grids of our planet. And, of course, there's no obligation. If you're here for the first time, you can be checking this out, and you can come back and check as much as you want to see if this holds consistent for you and if it is important for your own development. So we do a calling in of the light, and then we go around to each person that's on the line, and they put something into the light, kind of like a prayer request. And what's happening is that we're joining our energies on the parts of ourselves that exist in other dimensions. And then we're allowing these group souls to join with us. And as long as we are operating out of the highest bit of our concern, as long as we are operating out of service to others, they can add their energy to our prayer request. So even though we're a small group, we have those millions and billions of energies that are desirous of uplifting this planet, adding to our energy. And so I'm going to begin that in what I call the invocation to the light right now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the Hunab Ku, center of our galaxy, through our solar system, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. We allow ourselves to open our chakras as this energy passes through us. And we expand this energy to each other, to all of us that are on this phone line, and to all of us who are listening, no matter where they are on the planet. And we join in one group energy, and we invite those group souls who are service to others, operating in the Christed light, to join with our energy right now. And as we participate in this group energy, we send this energy around planet Earth for a healing of all its own energy fields, which are sometimes called grids. We send this energy to some of the places on our planet where there's violence or where there's upset. We send it to the Middle East. We send it to Washington, D.C. We send it to Los Angeles. We send it to St. Louis. And we send it in particular to each of you. Each of you on the line, each of you listening. You might feel this energy in your space expanding out from your own self into your home, to your family, and to your friends. And at this moment, we have about 7 more minutes on BBS, and we're going to continue this when we go off the air on BBS, all those people on the line. Those of you on BBS who would like to read more about this, please visit our website, which is higher-vision.org, and you can hear some actual channels that are posted there. You can read some of the story. You can read a little bit about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And if any of this fascinates you, we hope you'll read the book and integrate this and see if, how much it makes sense as you learn more. So on that note, I'm going to unmute you in just a moment. And John, do you have something you'd like to put in the light tonight?
Yes, I'd like to put in my parents, John and Sophie, my girl Jeannie, all the people on the line, and everybody in the world that needs our assistance.
Thank you. And Suzanne?
I'd like to put my daughter Claire in for a healthy birth. And I'd like to put the alleviation of old karmic patterns from all the people on the earth. And I'd like to send love and light to everybody on the line.
Thank you. And Terry?
I'd like to send light to the group that is forming and is perpetuating and working with these concepts and helping with that. And I would like to send love and light to New York City and the Mideast and everyone that is searching for truth.
Thank you, Terry. By the way, that was Terry who channeled that reading that I read this evening. Gino?
Thank you, Terry.
Yes, I'd like to put everybody in the line. People health against their will. Care for physical healing and the sale of my house and my family, Winter and Daphne. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're at the end of
it. And let's see. Sue, in the West Coast? In Santa Barbara.
This is Dorian in Santa Barbara.
Dorian, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to put a prayer out for all of those of us on the planet to help us release our fears and have love and faith in our heart in the Ra and the Elohim. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Alika?
Yes, I would like to send a prayer for each soul that's on this line, each soul that's fighting in that war, each soul that's wishing for a connection with that light, that connection be powerfully felt and that it dissolves anything that's holding us back from it. I dissolve it, especially in my family, and I would like to ask for a special blessing for my sister Gloria. Something is being held, and I wish for that connection for her to that light so that all of the heaviness can be dispelled and the light can just pour in, and I feel that light pouring in as I say it, and I I see it pouring into all of us, that we all be receptive to it, because it's so available. I just pray that all of our souls be receptive to that light and just feel that energy.
Thank you so much for sharing it. I just feel the energy pouring in as you said it, and I thank you for adding your blessing to everything.
Thank you, Wynn. God bless you. Yes, thank
and
you, Wynn.
Thank you. Thank everyone who supports this. Claudia.
Yes, Wynn. I would like to send light and love to everybody in the line. And I would like to send the light to my sisters, Linda, Adriana, and my brother, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you. Kendra?
Hi. I'd like to put everybody on the line in the light, and my whole family, and my best friend, Adrian. Thank you.
Thank you. And Diane in France. Grenoble, France.
Yes, I'd like to put everyone on the line, my family, Amy and Eric, for a physical healing, the European continent, the country of France, and the Dauphine region, Leah, Tawny, and Grace, Neil and Cypher, Terry, Wynn, and Daphne, and Mother Earth.
Thank you, Diane. And let's just all focus our energy to France right now, because we're moving across the grid lines of the Atlantic Ocean, and that's very good for the planet. So let's envision France being grounded in the light through Diane and Wesley. Wesley.
I'll pass tonight. Thanks, Wynn.
Okay. Kathy in Memphis? Are you on, Kathy?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I was muted. Everyone who's listening, my family and my spiritual family, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's 10:24, so I believe we're going to be off of BBS in about 1 minute. So I just wanted to tell those people who are listening on BBS that we're doing this every night. It's not always, it's a little different format. Monday and Tuesdays we do somewhat similar format. We do a reading, and then we call in the light, and then Wednesdays through Sundays, it's a shorter format, where we just do a calling in of the light. And, you know, these group souls are able to do interventions on our planet, so they say, and that they need our permission to do that, and that by holding this energy, we are actually giving them more ability to help us, which we certainly need. So by coming in and sharing this energy during the evening, not only are you sharing it for yourself, but you're sharing it for the good of the planet, and I welcome you all to come in. If you want to know the phone number, please leave an email on the website, highervision.org, higher-vision.org, and we'll email you the phone line so that you can check in. We only do it on BBS Radio on Monday nights, and every other night of the week, it's just on the phone line. So we God bless you all. And
when?
Yeah.
I had an important call. This is Bonnie. I came back.
Bonnie, I'm just a moment. I'm just saying goodbye to the people on BBS.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're not closing the call for those that are on the line.
Okay.
I'm just closing it for BBS.
Okay.
The people that are on the internet, because we have a strict timeline on that.
Right.
And then we'll just continue. So
mm-hmm.
we'll definitely get to you. Okay.
Okay.
So just hang in for a moment. Thank
yeah.
you.
That's fine.
Let's see. Suzanne?
Yes.
Are we off of BBS?
Don?